Yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows. We've all heard of the law of attraction. Some people sneer and laugh and call it metaphysical nonsense. Maybe it is. I choose to believe in it. I don't think you hurt yourself by believing in things that aren't necessarily true, unless those things you actually believe in could actually hurt you. Believing in the law of attraction can't hurt you if it's done properly. Now, the way that I sum up the law of attraction is what you think about comes about and what you focus on grows, because what you first think about and where you apply your focus, it will expand in your life, whether that be drugs, pornography, business, gambling, anything, whatever it is. The more you focus on it, the more you focus on your wife, the more you put your attention on her, the more you shower her with love and affection, I promise you, that relationship will grow and it will expand. Same with children. Same with your studies at college. The same with your retail job. The same with whatever passion activity you may be involved in. In chapter 11 of The Science of Getting Rich, Wallace Wattles in the beginning says, thought is the creative power, or the impelling force which causes the creative power to act. That's the key word. Or the impelling force which causes the creative power to act. Thought. Listen to those words. I mean, read them real slow. Thought is the creative power. Thought. Or the impelling force which causes creative power to act. Thinking in a certain way will bring riches to you, but you must not rely upon thought alone, paying no attention to personal action, meaning you can't sit your ass on the couch and think positive and money will come to you. But you do need to sit on the couch and do a little bit of thinking. The Bible refers to this, that faith without works is dead. In other words, confessing to be a believer in Christ, but your life doesn't show evidence of it, is just simply not true. Faith without works is dead. If you believe the things that you say, there will be actual evidence in your life of whatever it is you say. In other words, what you think about comes about and what you focus on grows. That's just my little way of summarizing the law of attraction. Thinking in a certain way will bring riches to you, but you must not rely upon thought alone, paying no attention to personal action. This is the rock upon which many otherwise scientific metaphysical thinkers meet shipwreck, the failure to connect thought to personal action. We have not yet reached the stage of human development, even supposing that such a stage is possible, in which man can create directly from the formless substance without nature's process or the work of human hands. In other words, we still need others. We still need raw materials. The architect can think about a house, design a house, draw it on paper all day long, but he still needs the man who knows how to swing a hammer. And those two work together. And the banker needs the realtor, and the realtor needs the home builder, and the home builder needs a home buyer, right? In which man can create, such a stage to be possible in which man can create directly from the formless substance without nature's process or the work of human hands, man must not only think, but his personal action must be a supplement to his thought. That your action is a reaction to your thought. And when you combine that, it's kind of like the old phrase where work as if God isn't listening and pray. How's that go? Pray as if God is listening and work as if he isn't. Now, the Science of Getting Rich calls that thinking and acting in a certain way. I've talked to you, if you wanted to be a millionaire, it's just math. Save $100,000 a year for 10 years, you have $1 million. You say, well, I can't do 10 years. Okay, cut it in half. Save $50,000 a year for 20 years, you have $1 million. Well, I can't do that. Cut it in half. We can chop this up till it becomes a number you can do. And then you say, well, I won't live that long. Okay. So we need to compress time. So we learn and we study about compound interest. And you say, oh, hey, if I get 10% interest a year, I can now do in 7 years what would have took 10 just saving. And as that number expands, it multiplies faster. That's the way compound interest works. Then you could really catch on. And what I realized real quick was if I looked at a compound chart over 30 years and they'd say, well, start with $5,000, put in 100 a month. And as you get toward the end of the chart, you'll see it really begins to pick up steam. It snowballs. And it occurred to me one day, what if I just start on that side of the chart? And they say, what do you mean? I said, well, if instead of saving 100, I saved 1,000, would I not buy myself 10 months every month? And if that's true, why not save 2,000? Would I not buy myself 20 months every month? And if that's true, why not save 3? And if I could save 3, what if happens if I save 5? What if I save $5,000 every month for 10 consecutive years? What happens? It's just math. You become a millionaire. And so we have to start with the end in mind. What is the goal? And the goal is the creative thought. This is what you're sitting in. You're thinking about it. This is my goal. What makes the goal possible? What makes the creative thought an impaling force? Last time I talked about using your will, pushing your will into the universe, right? What is your will? Your will is your goal. It's your thought. It's that creative energy. You're now pushing it into the world. What is that? Where does that power come from? Action. When you combine thought with action, but the key, in a certain way. Meaning the thought and the action have to be in alignment. You can't say, I want to be a millionaire and then save $10 a month. The thought and the action do not align. There's no mathematical formula unless you have a 1,000-year time frame, right? And so something has to change. What you think about comes about and what you focus on grows. So you begin to think about, and the first step would be to say, my actions don't match my creative thought power. What do I have to do? Well, I either have to lessen the creative thought power, I have to lower the target, lower the level, and stop thinking so big, or I need to somehow increase my action over here. In my business, in the world of network marketing, I get this a lot. They'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. I'll mail a couple hundred. And if I get some good results, if some people respond, if this limited number of people that I push my will into, if that very limited marketplace was to respond, then maybe I will then do something. And they pitch it as if it's some sort of goal. It's not a goal. It's a hope. It's a dream. It's not creative power. It's not chapter 11 of The Science of Getting Rich. That's what it's not. So I built my life and my business behind a book that's 17 chapters long. And every motivational speaker and every get rich guru and all the people that you listen to on YouTube and Instagram, from the Grant Cardones to, you know, the Tony Robbins, Eric Thomas's, there's tons of these guys. Everything they have ever said is in this book. There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible teaches that in Song of Solomon. There's nothing new under the sun. My son does Instagram marketing. Sometimes they think they made up things. Sometimes they think they invented things. Son, been doing direct mail marketing since the birth of the Catholic Church, where the Catholic Church would have monks pen letters, sales letters that they would mail to the community, asking for money for the forgiveness of sins. Catholic Church was one of the first people to begin using direct mail. I've used direct mail. I've mailed to date over 6 million postcards. And it all started from a creative thought I had one night, midnight, working in a prison. And instead of letting that thought float away, I pulled out a pencil and a piece of paper and I began to write it. And in the back of my mind, I had this little thing humming around in my mind. This was a phrase that had helped me for a while. What you give away, you get to keep. That if you first start by giving something away of value, people will reciprocate. It's a basic law, much like the law of attraction. The law of reciprocation. Not every single person, it's not, you know, not every single thing applies to every single person, but to a large percentage of people, if you hold a door open for them, we'll have a kind word for you. If you give them, if you buy a friend dinner, he feels obligated to buy you dinner. Not everyone. And the people who don't feel that obligation, you don't want to do business with them anyway, I promise you. This is why you stop frequenting businesses that you feel like don't appreciate you, that maybe somewhere where you've done a lot of business with, and then you come in with a problem and they treat you just like a regular old customer. They don't treat you like you've been coming there every day or every week or every year or every month or whatever for 10 years. You know, there's a little bit of part of me that says, hey, AT&T, I've been a customer for 13 years. When I call you, I expect you to take it serious. I didn't sign up yesterday. Now, AT&T has a problem. It's such a big company, such a big corporation, they can't control all the moving parts. But me and you, we're small operators. I can control all of the parts, or at least influence all of the parts of my business. And so I can write that hand note. I can listen to that person's problems. I can refund a person that I shouldn't even be refunding because of the law of attraction. I'll get it back from someone else. Because I live and I think and I work and I act in a certain way. See, I know the formula to become a millionaire. I already did the math. I'm trying to figure out how to do it for the fifth time, the tenth time. How do I become a decamillionaire? How do I do that? How do I play the game in such a way that my wealth continues to grow and multiply? Now, part of the way you have to do it is you have to not be sidetracked. One of my pet peeves, I posted this on Instagram, there's a difference and it drives me crazy, and it's more so with the younger generation and unsophisticated people, is they confuse and they mix up the two of speculation and investing. Investment is not speculation. Now, speculation isn't gambling, but it's not investing. An investment implies a return. I put 10 grand in every month, every quarter, I get a little check. That's called investing. You invest in a real estate, you get a little check in the form of rent check, right? Property appreciation, other things involved. I invest in a blue chip stock, I get a little dividend. That's called investing. Even if the price goes down, I get a little money, get a little drip, get a little money coming my way, a little cash flow. That's called investing. That's what I do. Speculation, which is completely fine, but don't confuse it with investing. Speculation is you don't really know. You don't really know. So when you buy a little Bitcoin, I hope you do well, but don't call it investing. And when it goes up and you sell it and you made some money, you're not an investor. You're a speculator. And you got it right and you won. Gold miners are not speculators. What do they call gold miners? Speculators. They're speculating. Now, I know the gold's in the ground, but we don't know that they're going to find it. There's gold everywhere. But is he going to find it? No, he's speculating. He's a speculator. He's looking. He's a prospector. He's looking. He's prospecting. He's digging. That's what they call it in my business, in the network marketing. We're prospecting. What does that mean? We're digging around. We're talking to this person, talking to that person, talking to this person. I'm press myself into the universe. I mail out my cards. If they have an interest, they'll call my number, visit my website. If they do that, they don't talk to me. I have systems, tools, machines that sort and select those leads. I put them into a database. I send them out a free information package, and I've never even spoken to them. I send out 10 to 30 a day, and I've never spoken to these people. Day after day after day after day. That's called thinking in a certain way. I built a marketing system and strategy, but it's all built on speculation. I don't know which ad is going to work. I don't know which postcard is going to work. And so that's not investing. When I do an ad campaign, I'm not investing in my business. I'm speculating in my business. But now, if my business has orders, let's say we had orders booked for 100, let's say 1,000 units, and I normally buy 100 units at a time and I sell them, and I get a really big order of, say, 300 units, and I say, wow, with the profit from this, if I don't take the profit, what if I rolled it all into more units so that going forward into the next year, I would even make even more per unit and I wouldn't have to buy any for a while? And so let's say I sold enough of my books. I've sold over 50,000 books without being on Amazon, without being in a bookstore, all through direct mail. And let's say that I have a great month one month, and rather than taking any of the profit for these books, I take it and I go and buy as many damn books as I possibly can. Now I can look back over my books and see that for the last eight years, we averaged 50 books a month here and 50 books a month here and 50 books, and I can add it up. Now I can make an investment in my business. Because these are known quantities of things we're going to sell. Yes, there's uncertainty, but we have an eight-year track record. Just like a company may have an eight-year track record of paying their dividend. They could stop paying it. Yes, that's possible. But we have years of a history to look at. And so it's not investing in your business to run an ad. But it is investing in your business to buy the materials that make the products of things you've already sold or know you're going to sell. Fine distinction, right? It's investing to buy a house that you can rent for a profit and make money every month. It's speculating to buy a property that you rent at a loss because the property values are going up so high in this area that you can't even rent them for what they cost. So you rent it at a loss to help offset your cost with the hopes of selling it in 2 or 3 years for a big profit. That's a good game. If you can find a game like that, play the game. But don't call it investing. There's no investing where you lose money every month. That's not investing. That's called speculating. And when people begin to fuzz the two in their mind, what ends up happening is a 20 and 30 year life of career of never actually getting wealthy. And so I speculate with a portion of my money. I invest for guaranteed wealth with the rest. And so I'm not against speculating. Buy a little Bitcoin. You know, if you want to waste money, buy a little Bitcoin. Buy whatever. In the recent oil crisis, I live in Texas. It's very personal. It's right here in my area. I'm watching people be fired. Some of my renters were fired, lost their jobs. Some of the people that my son went to school with had to move because the oil companies laid everyone off. This is a bad time. If I would have went out into the marketplace and said, okay, there's 20 or 30 of these little small drilling companies and service companies and that are all around there. What if I tried to pick a winner? If I went and bought a little piece of 10 of them, hoping that, you know, one of them's going to survive. And when they do, they're going to turn around and come back. That we have a 100-year track record of oil production that we can look back and make a, quote, speculation. I wouldn't call that investing. Now, what I did is I split the middle. I went, who is the richest, most powerful, safest oil investment you can make? Exxon, Chevron, Conoco. And so I did a speculation within an investment. See, I already owned shares of those. I was already down 50%. So I just doubled my positions with the idea, with the speculative idea, realizing this is not an investment. I already own the investment. It's to unload the investment when these stocks recover. And they did, and it worked perfect, and I made money. What is that? Thinking in a certain way. I was able to go back and look at history. What you think about comes about, and what you focus on grows. I'm able to do research, think in the right way. I don't let fear rule me. A few episodes back, we talked about the three killers of mankind, right? Fear, indecision, and doubt. The four stealers of your wealth: death, disease, divorce, disinterest. Death, disease, divorce, disinterest. What's the point of that? Four D's. So that you think in a certain way. It's to make your mind comprehend it. The reason the Army uses acronyms is because it helps young soldiers remember the procedure. It helps them think in a certain way. Because if you think in a wrong way, you're going to get it wrong. If you get it wrong, you could die. Make sense? Same in investing. So if right now you're, oh, I want to be a millionaire, and you save $10 a month, you're not going to be a millionaire. You have to begin changing your actions to match your creative thought. Thought is the creative power or the impelling force which causes the creative power to act. Thinking in a certain way will bring riches to you. But you must not rely upon thought alone, paying no attention to personal action. That is the rock upon which many otherwise scientific, metaphysical thinkers met shipwreck. The failure to connect thought with personal action. We have not yet reached the stage of development, even supposing that such a stage be possible, in which man can create directly from the formless substance without nature's process or the work of human hands. Man must not only think, but his personal action must supplement his thoughts.